down 31, and then they won the game, and then they lost in a competitive game against the Chiefs, who would go on to win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I remember telling somebody, that's the last time we're going to be able to get Trevor Lawrence as a 7-point underdog.
Wow.
That's what I thought. And I was very wrong. And I was very wrong. But I thought 2 years ago, like, this guy is about to take over as a top five quarterback. Like, he was, you know, they were one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And I truly thought that was the trajectory he was on. But he took a step back, you know, didn't really get healthy 2 years ago. And then last year, you know, kind of the same problem. So nothing is guaranteed, man. Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL.
I actually think the reason why Travis Hunter will be primarily on offense is that reason, right? You need him. He's listed right now as the one receiver. And he's listed as a two on their base defense. So my guess is because they need Travis Hunter to ball out this year.
Yeah.
They need that offense to hum.
Oh yeah,
that's going to be the focus.
No question. I mean, you get him. You got Brian Thomas last year. You got Travis Hunter this year. So
yeah,
you've given him as much as you can realistically give him.
All the weapons.
So I mean, there really are no excuses. That's part of it too. It's like, let's get the discovery out there. Let's see if this is a weapon problem or a quarterback problem.
Seth Hennigan on the depth chart is four. I don't know if he'll make the roster or not.
He's fighting. I haven't seen a lot from him in camp, like in terms of reports and stuff. But I do think they want him.
I think they want him too
to make it. But he's got his work cut out for him there. He's going to have to beat like Wolford or something.
Yeah, they've got perennial backup Nick Mullins ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah,
and then he's got to beat Wolford. He's got to beat out. He should be able to beat that cat out though.
Yeah.
That's his fifth season.
It's tough though when you're talking about a guy like Wolford started games in the NFL.
Yeah, I know.
So it's gonna be tough.
Like Hennigan though, like I guess you get enamored by these videos that, you know, are floating around the internet where he's doing ball talk, but it'll be tough for him if they're gonna keep they're not gonna keep four quarterbacks.
Definitely not. Definitely not. All right, we'll come back. That's the story I just saw. That Travis Hunter is going to make his preseason debut, his two-way debut on Saturday. We'll come back. Raheem Palmer is going to join us. We'll talk to him about the NFL, get his thoughts on the Grizz and their offseason. Lots to get to with him. Stick around. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN. All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eternal FM, ESPN, hour number three. Raheem Palmer is going to join us in just a little bit. We'll talk to him about NFL preseason, some NBA. Lots to get to with him. Looking forward to that. Chris Harrington has a mailbag up at dailymfn.com. I love these mailbags because it kind of is my compass. I like to use Chris Harrington as a compass. Like how should I be thinking about the Memphis Grizzlies? And, you know, he is my guide. He is my guiding light. And in his mailbag today at the Daily Memphian, you know, the first thing he addresses, the first question he got was about the wing rotation. And this is what he had to say about the wing rotation, because people are excited about Cedric Coward, a.k.a. Michael Jordan, a.k.a. Kobe Bryant, a.k.a. A cross between Michael Porter Jr. And Dwayne Wade and Wilt Chamberlain.
Be careful here.
It's not me.
Yeah, no, it's I thought it when he got drafted.
It ain't me. It's everybody else. This is what he said. This is what Harrington said about the wing rotation. I'd be very surprised to see Coward starting on opening night. He hasn't played an organized game since November, played very little in college against the highest level competition, and he missed all of summer league. I think the default starting wings right now are Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Jalen Wells. It's been six seasons since Caldwell-Pope came off the bench in an NBA game. I think the Grizzlies believe his shooting will bounce back and want his experience to have an impact. That's more likely to happen if he's in a prominent role. Wells has earned his default slot in the starting lineup, but one rationale, not the main one, for the Bane trade seemed to be a belief that Wells is better suited for scoring guard than small forward. This alignment would keep him at the quote-unquote three for now. This is probably how the team will start next season, but I do wonder about this. KCP and Wells are both low-usage players. If the Grizzlies open the season with a low-usage center like Jock Landale, is that too little offensive juice around Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr.? I do think that's an interesting question because when I think about Jalen Wells, it's like almost intangibles in a way. It's like he does a lot of the small things. He's like a great hustle guy. He's going to make some timely threes.
Putbacks, maybe.
You know, be a good defender. But I certainly, and I think his numbers would suggest, like he's just not going to be that type of player. He's not an on-ball guy. And then KCP, same thing. He's going to be a spot-up shooter in the corner, primary defender. You know,
yeah.
I mean, like you can sort of, tweak this and play with this as much as you want. I mean, it will be a step back for the Grizzlies if it's KCP and Jalen Wells. I mean, that's just the truth.
It feels like Santi Aldama should get a look for starter.
Yeah, I mean,
if you need offensive juice, you know, I mean, he's three at the three.
Yeah, but I mean, are you putting him in there over Jalen? I mean, you know, his whole thing is Jalen Wells has earned it, and that might be a little out of position for Santi at the quote unquote three. He's more of a stretch four, but I mean, I hear what you're saying that Santi can be, you know,
a more firepower, a little more, you know, cred in terms of his length in, with the team and the system.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, he doesn't really go into Santi there as that possibility.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I kind of like the reserve piece of that. Although they gave him a nice deal.
Yeah,
I
mean, they gave money.
I think there's a world where, you know, he could start somewhere for, yeah, you know, at some point, but it doesn't sound like, you know, a wing is where that.
Or he's at the four, and then you got Jaren at the five to start because you're out with Edie. Of course, Jaren's going to be out. I keep forgetting about this.
I think the expectation is Jaren's going to be back.
He's going to be here for the season.
Yeah, Jaren will be back. Again, that's the expectation. I mean, I'm certainly not going to sit here and vouch for the Grizz on injury timelines, but that's the expectation. Edie is going to go into the year. And I think that they brought Jock Landale in here to start at the center.
They knew this was going to be a delayed, because of the foot and the surgery.
Yeah, that was the timeline. Mm-hmm. I mean, the timeline was out there, so
sure,
nobody's surprised by that. But I do think that was the idea, is keep Jaren in his more natural four and then have.
So,
you know, I don't really obsess over it. Yeah. I don't obsess over whether Jaren plays the four or the five. I mean, I know a lot of people do. I just think he needs to be an elite defender, one of the best defenders in the NBA, and he needs to be a consistent three-point shooter, whether that's a four or the five. I mean, I think that's just the main focus. I wouldn't really worry about what number you put him at, four or five. He's never going to be a great rebounder.
No.
Like, I mean, we could sit here until we're blue in the face and say we wish he would rebound the ball, but that's just not what he's going to do, you know? And I think part of it is, listen, he is going to be out there a little bit. He's going to be trailing away. He's going to be drifting away, guarding perimeter players. Like, it's just, you know, and that's why you have to get good rebounders around him. You adjust to your personnel. That's the goal, right? Is you adjust your personnel rather than telling your personnel to adjust to you, especially when, you know, he's proven to be one of the better players, you know, especially defensively in the NBA. So I just think that's the way that has to be. Now, Harrington mentions maybe Gigi Jackson could be a look, but I just think, honestly, his summer was very mediocre.
Yeah, it wasn't overwhelming, was it? He didn't just like dominate
at all.
I mean,
now people will say, "Well, he had this, he had that, he had some, he had the flu or whatever the hell he was dealing with." I mean, but this was really, I thought, you know, a big opportunity for him, and he just didn't take it. In my view, he just did not. He did not show me enough, I think, to feel good. Like, forget starting like that.
Right.
Like, my God, that's outrageous. But to be even a consistent member of the rotation, like I don't think he's going to be better than Cedric Cowher next year. I think he's going
to. Wow.
I think he's getting beat out by Cedric. He better be. If Cedric Cowher can't beat out Gigi Jackson next year, we got some problems. Now, again,
based on play, I would agree with that.
Yeah, like Gigi Jackson had a better summer league last year in 2024 than he did in this summer league.
Yeah,
and that's kind of concerning. Like, he might be going the wrong way. His year, you know, 2 years ago was better than the year last year. You know, I'm a little nervous now. Gigi had a good game against the Jazz in this summer league, and that was really about it. That was really about the only one that I felt like he looked great in.
So Scotty will back up Ja again. Ty Jerome obviously is a nice piece, and he's probably going to be slotted ahead of Gigi Jackson for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, Ty Jerome is going to be the backup point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's a different position altogether.
So Scotty is, okay. He's going to just.
Yeah, Scotty and Jerome will sort of alternate. Like, they may, you know, I don't know exactly how that will look. That's interesting. Because I thought Scotty kind of showed.
That's what I didn't understand.
Because I just think when you score 30 in that game, in game four, like, you were the guy, you were one of the two guys that kind of brought it. Santi brought it, and Scotty Pippen Jr. brought it in that game. They do have a little bit of repetition though. So I'm not sure. I guess Ty Jerome could play, or Scottie Pippen, you could play two. I don't know. I don't know exactly how that's going to unfold. You know, he's so small for a two guard.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what Harrington actually addressed this. He said, given the wealth of viable alternatives, I don't see the Grizzlies starting a backcourt of two players shorter than 6'3". That said, the Grizzlies played well last season with Morant and Pippen on the floor together, and Isolo actually used the combination quite a bit in the playoffs. Pippen's ability to play both on and off the ball on offense while offering plus defense gives him a lot of utility. He says, I was workshopping a Scottie Pippen Jr. Sixth Man of the Year candidate take before the Grizzlies went out and signed Ty Jerome at the same general position, who finished third in the vote for that award last season. That addition might complicate Pippen's role and the extent of his opportunity, but I'm very high on Pippen. I don't think he'll start, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him play a lot alongside Morant, including in crunch time. So, So this is how Harrington sees the rotation, the 10-man going. Ja Morant, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Jalen Wells, Jaren Jackson Jr., Jock Landale. Those are your starters. And then your reserves are Ty Jerome, Scottie Pippen Jr., Cedric Howard, Santi, and Brandon. And then, of course, when Edie comes back, he would take the place of Jock Landale. So, you know, he said if Jaren isn't ready, then he thinks Santi starts. And then, of course, Gigi would move up into that spot.
That makes sense.
I got to say, it's just not a it feels a bit like a very abstract, you know.
Right. No, it's it, –
you
kind of
look at it and you're like, I don't really know what to think about that. Again, I think what's true today is what it has been basically true always, which is that the team goes as far as Ja Morant is great.
Yep.
If Ja Morant is available and he is great, they have a chance. If he is unavailable, they don't. I mean, now, Ty Jerome is a high-floor guy. I will say, when I talked to a Cavalier staffer about the signing of Ty Jerome, he said this is a great signing for that reason.
Yeah.
Because Ja is going to miss games.
Yeah.
And Ty Jerome was very, very, very – I mean, did Ty Jerome absolutely light the Grizzlies up last year?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that there was a game, at least one game, where he just did their ass in.
Yep. The good thing about him is he's healthy as hell usually. Like, he played 70 games last year.
Yeah, Ty Jerome in their game on February 23rd in a six-point win for the Cavs had 26 and 5 in 23 minutes. I mean, my God.
Wow.
That was just destruction. Mm. This dude got in and wasted no time. And the Grizzlies were like, oh, yeah, we got to sign that dude.
Right.
And they got him, by the way, on a very good deal.
Yeah.
They did not overpay for Ty Jerome either. He had a bad series against the whoever they played in the was it the
New
Pacers?
York?
It must have been the Pacers.
Yeah, they got past New York and they went to Pacers.
Yeah. And so, you know, that I think that kind of hurt his stock a little bit. But I mean, he did his job, I think, for the most part. And so I think it's a really good acquisition for the Grizzlies. Again, as far as the team goes, I think the goal is just, like, if you can somehow be out of the play-in. Like, Drew's in here, and he's like, I swear I thought I was doing an interview with Zach Klein. He's like, our success won't be measured by order of finish. Like, come on, bro. Yes, it will.
Are we there all? Like,
that sounds like we're punting. Right? Like, we're conceding the season already. Like, this season's going to suck, and everybody knows it.
I think it might. It has the potential.
If you have these guys on the court and it sucks, then I think you have your answer there, too.
Yeah, I mean, Ja is your key. Jaren's your key, but he's not. He's already got health issues.
Yeah.
Your starting center you drafted last year off the court.
Very true.
You know, we're talking about Ty Jerome.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's tough. I mean, you know, health is always a.
We're talking about Cedric Cowher, who we've never seen play an NBA game or a summer league game.
Yeah. A lot of hopes and dreams. There's no doubt about it. But I'll wait for the injuries to happen before I say they're going to happen. I mean, I guess in terms of Zach and Jaren, they have. That doesn't necessarily mean they're any more likely to happen again or to somebody else. So we'll have to see. Let's let it all play out. And that's tough to do on August 7th, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't get us through a radio show. But
no, I get it. Gigi has taken a step back, though. On the point about Gigi, he's taken a step back.
People might disagree with me on that, but I think it's less about taking a step back as it is he hasn't taken a step forward.
That's fair.
That's what it is.
This summer he clearly didn't.
You know, you're waiting on him to say, like, all right, I can be a contributor to a meaningful, you know, 45, 48 win team, and he hasn't really done that in my view. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Harrington has him out of the rotation. And, you know, after, you know, 2 years ago, if I'd have told you that he was not going to be in the rotation in 25, 26, you would have been very, very, very disappointed. Mm-hmm. You would have said you would have said, shut the hell up, that you're crazy. Of course he's going to be in the rotation. But it's not a guarantee. It's never a guarantee. you almost have to throw out what happens in a season like that.
Right.
You know, Vince Williams looked great. GG Jackson looked great. And then it's like in the context of a competitive playoff run type season, they didn't show up in the same way. So it's always case by case. Anyway, good stuff from Chris Harrington up at the Daily Memphian. We'll come back. Raheem Palmer's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about all this. Grizz, NBA moves, NFL preseason, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, I'm trying to FM ESPN. Raheem Palmer is my guy at the Ringer, FanDuel TV. The brand new Ringer Gambling Pod is out. Definitely make sure you're checking out the division previews there. East Coast bias. He joins us now. Raheem, what's up, my guy?
I'm good, man. I'm just getting ready for the NFL season, man. I'm excited, man. It's been, you know, a long summer, no basketball, no football other than, you know, summer league. So I'm ready to get back in the swing of things.
Well, we got NFL preseason, and don't you forget, I mean, this should be right up your wheelhouse, man. We got Eurobasket coming up real soon.
Oh, yeah. I got to start getting ready for that as well. I love European basketball. You know, if you guys paid attention, we hit on the future, the EuroLeague future. We picked Fenerbahce to win the whole thing, and we were able to cash that one.
That's
so
right.
Hopefully we can continue things for EuroBasket and then move on to the NBA.
Is this one of those things, by the way? I'm only going to ask one question about the EuroBasket, but I love you. I'm like you. I love European basketball. I love FIBA rules. Like, this is just one where you bet Serbia and, like, move on with your life?
I haven't looked at the rosters yet. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, but you got Jokic. You got Jokic and Bogdanovic. What else do you need?
But it's tough, though, because, you know, some of these teams, I mean, it's about the continuity, too. So, but, yeah, I mean, when you got Jokic and Bogdanovic, that's hard to beat. I mean, the USA, with all our stars, we're down double digits to Serbia, so
that's right. That's right. That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's the same team, basically.
So, yeah, you're probably right about that.
I mean, they're the favorite. They're like plus like 275. It's probably even worse now. But that's kind of how, you know, Wimby's not playing for France. I think Germany already peaked with the World Cup win. A couple years ago. So it just kind of feels like it's Serbia's
time. Is Giannis playing for Greece?
Giannis is playing. Yes, he is.
Okay. And then, I mean, I think Luka's playing too for Slovenia. They're 12-1.
I would imagine Luka's going. I mean, he's ready to play. He's got the new body. And I saw like Draymond. I saw Draymond Green. I was going to say Draymond Green was like on, you know, Draymond Green is an avid thread guy. Like, he loves threads. He posts on threads all the time. And he was saying that, like, he thinks Luka could win MVP because he's going to be playing summer basketball. And so he thinks he'll come into the NBA, like, already in basketball mode, and he'll have a leg up on everybody else.
I mean, he's in good shape. He's probably right. But it's just a matter of, you know, LeBron plays with the ball a lot. So I just don't know, like, how the offense is going to look. I think that's my one concern. But I think the assessment is correct. But Slovenia is actually 12-1. And they tend to overperform, you know, when they're in these, because, you know, Luka takes it seriously.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do my homework on this.
Yeah, you got come on, bro. It's 20 days, man. Yeah, it's 20 days. I mean, you got to get on it, dog. Come on, man. It's almost time. It's probably going to be even before that. Anyway, yeah, we'll talk off the air. We'll talk in Vegas next week. We could do some Eurobasket handicapping in Vegas next week.
Most definitely.
I've been trying to get everybody here in Memphis pumped for preseason. I don't know if it's working though, bro. I feel like I've been working for the NFL. Like, I need a check from the NFL. I've been hyping up preseason so much, but I will say, as preseason goes tonight, you're getting starters in the Colts game, you're getting starters in the Bengals game, and you're getting starters in the Raiders game. I mean, it doesn't get better than that on a Thursday night in week one of preseason.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it definitely doesn't get better than that. I mean, the Bengals, they started off so slow that they absolutely have to go for it. I mean, like, at some point in time, you can't have these slow starts every single year. So, I mean, there's a reason why you look at these numbers. I mean, they're getting steamed crazy. Like,
crazy.
The Eagles opened up as two-point favorites and are now plus 6.5, like, which is
crazy.
Absolutely ridiculous. You know, so you've seen a lot of these numbers, like, just move.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I do have Cincy. Like, I don't even know what the. I got a couple of different bets in on Cincy. Got a couple of different bets in on the Raiders. I don't have anything in the first game, but like, how much? This is always the interesting about preseason to me, Raheem. Like, how much value do you put on? Hey, you know, coach says our starters are going to play a series or two. The other team's not playing any starters. Like, what is that worth? What is a series or two of starters versus non-starters? And I'm not necessarily asking for, like, a what does your model say, but just, like, sort of anecdotally, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that worth a lot? Do we overrate that? Do we underrate that? Like, where do you come down on just starters versus non-starters in these kinds of games?
I think it's worth a ton because, I mean, you saw last week. I mean, the Lions didn't play anybody. And, you know, the Chargers went out there and just beat the crap out of them in the first half. And then in the second half, it was just like they had enough of a lead to where it's like, all right, the Lions weren't going to do anything. So it is definitely worth a ton, but I think you still need to look at the depth charts as well because, you know, some of these teams have quarterbacks who, you know, they may not be NFL-level starters, but in the preseason, they're absolute gamers. So you could find yourself just wanting to play some first halves. But you still need, I mean, as far as the full game, you still need to be looking at those depth charts because there's some quarterbacks out there who, like, they will spoil it for you.
No question about that. I love the Raiders tonight. I mean, it just all the like, narratives of it, Pete going back, starters playing, Seattle's kind of punting it. I love the Raiders in this game. Plus, even if you only get a quarter of Geno Smith or a couple of drives of Geno Smith, Aiden O'Connell's going to play most of the game, and he was their starter last year. So I do love the Raiders. I want to get your thoughts on Cincinnati, though, because you mentioned it. Like, Zach Taylor has this, you know, and I'm sure this is what every coach kind of goes through. Well, what was the reason for our slow start? Is it because we didn't do this, because we didn't do that? So now they've decided it's because they haven't played enough in the preseason, so they're going to do that tonight. I want to believe in Cincinnati. I want to believe in Joe Burrow. I want to believe that everybody coming back, they're going to finally be able to get back to a level where they're competing for a Super Bowl. And you asked the question on social media a couple of weeks ago, like, who is that next team? Who is that next team, you know, in the AFC? Can it be Cincinnati this year?
I don't think it is. And I don't trust the defense. And, I mean, look, you know, they say that offense is more consistent than defense. So if you subscribe to that theory that, you know, if you have a good offense this year, if you have a good offense on any given year, you can kind of put together a solid defense, then Cincinnati should be that team, but I still don't think they're going to have that defense. And, you know, they've allocated so many of their resources to offense. Like, if you ask me, they shouldn't have paid T. Higgins. Like, you paid Jamar Chase, you paid Joe Burrow, but then you got to spread that resources around in other places. And, you know, right now, I mean, look, Trey Henderson, I mean, he's been holding out. Obviously, I think, you know, you can't hold out but so long before you come back. It took them so long to sign their first-round rookie defensive player. But I just think you have to spread those resources around. Like, you saw the Kansas City Chiefs. They decided, you know what, we're not going to pay Tyreek Hill. And they improved the defense. And you look at a team like the Buffalo Bills, they've decided, you know what, we may not have the top high-end wide receivers, but we have a top-tier quarterback, and we can spread coming at, around on defense, and we'll be better for it. And I think that's the mistake that the Bengals have made, and I think ultimately they're going to be paying for it. And you got to remember, the offensive line has never really been great either. So it's like they have the skill positions, they have the quarterback, but I think the pieces around them just aren't very good. So I'm looking at a team like Denver to be that next team because I just think they have the defense. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Obviously, they probably don't have the quarterback, but if Bo Nix can make the leap, I mean, you still got a top-tier coach. I mean, and this is only his second year. So if he can make the leap, I think the Broncos – or even the Texans. The Texans, I mean, one of the best defenses in the league. If they have any offensive line improvement, that Texans team is going to be a problem.
Yeah. You know, you tweeted about this, and we've talked about it actually quite a bit on this show. It's one of the more intriguing games probably of the entire slate tomorrow. Browns on the road at Panthers. And, you know, it's almost like the Browns are intentionally setting Shadur up for failure. You know, he's not going to have his top two receivers. He hasn't been getting any reps, like, to speak of with the ones. They're not playing any starters. The Panthers are going to play some starters, not for long, but they will be playing some starters. And they're going to yet throw him out there after limited practices, limited reps. What are they just trying to, like, see? Are they trying to force this dude into failure? Like, what are they doing?
I have no idea what they're doing. Like, like, if anybody can tell me what the Browns' strategy is for their quarterback, please let me know, because I have no idea. Like, honestly, I don't even know why they drafted Gabriel. Like, I'm just confused. Like, I don't know why you need a quarterback room with Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett and Shedeur Sanders and Gabriel. Like, and then they just signed Snoop Huntley. So I'm totally confused about what the game plan is over there. But I am a big believer in Kevin Stefanski. Like, I'm a big believer in him in terms of, you know, putting quarterbacks in the best position to succeed. I mean, you go back the year before last, they had like four or five starting quarterbacks the whole year, and they still made the postseason. They got blown out by the Texans, but, you know, if there's anybody who can put Shedeur Sanders in position to win, I think it's him. He's a guy who calls a lot of play action. We saw him, you know, when he was like the quarterback's coach or the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings with Kirk Cousins. We saw him, you know, a couple of seasons ago when they had all those quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson. They had like four quarterbacks and still made the postseason. So we'll see what happens. But it's I don't know. The general managing over there is strange to me.
I wonder if it's – I mean, there is a little bit of, you know, in the NFL, they do kind of do this, right? Like, they do kind of try to put you in disadvantageous positions to see how you react, right? Like, I do think that is a weird but you know, common thing in the NFL, you know, whereas like –
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Like, it's in the NBA, you know, but I think that's the difference, right? In the NBA, like, you can just go out there and hoop. You know, like, you could just go out there and, like, Josh Selby had 52 in a summer league game. Like, it don't matter what the game plan was. Like, he just went out there and hooped. And he stuck, but he was able to score. I don't know how you overcome all the things that Shadur is going to have to overcome against a defense that's preparing for him, that's game planning for him, that is, you know, getting reps. Like, I don't think you can just go out there and expect Shedeur Sanders to hoop without all those things in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Fortunately, it's a preseason game, so, you know, things are probably a little bit vanilla. And then also, I mean, it's likely that, you know, these teams are scrimmaging against one another. So,
right.
They have seen each other. So, I mean, that could be good or bad. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, this guy's been a gamer. I mean, going back to, you know, when he was, where were they at? Jackson State. Going back to there, so I think he's gonna find a. I mean, he's gonna find a way. He's gonna sink or swim. So I kind of have faith in them, but I think I'm a big believer in that. A lot of these rookie quarterbacks should be sitting. You know, they really shouldn't be coming out and playing their first year. You look at Mahomes; he sat his first year, and I think he was better for it.
Yeah, talking to Raheem Palmer from The Ringer, one of our favorites here on the show. All right, let's talk a little NBA, get your thoughts on some matters there. I read up at ESPN.com, they sort of did this roundtable about Cooper Flagg, a.k.a. the Great White Hope. It's been a long time since we've been able to get this excited about an American-born white dude. And they seem to believe this sort of roundtable that, you know, he's going to win one MVP award, that he's going to win one title. That's kind of the consensus. I think maybe we're understating how difficult it is to win an MVP award, or do you think that's right? Do you think he's a likely MVP award winner?
Yeah, I think we're understating how difficult it is to win an MVP. I need to see a little bit more. But the one thing that's encouraging for me is that, and a lot of people don't give Jason Kid credit for this, but when he was coaching Giannis, he had Giannis playing point guard. And I think that's something that he's going to do with Cooper Flagg as well. I think Cooper Flagg is probably going to be the backup ball handler for the second unit. And I think that should help him grow tremendously. But I'm interested in seeing how his athleticism translates to the next level. I think that's going to be key as far as him, you know, winning an MVP. You know, I think his strength right now is his defense and his motor. But where is he offensively? I think that's going to be the determining factor of if he can win MVP. I'm not sure he's a 30-point scorer in this league. That's where my concern
right,
is.
Right. I mean, you can be a great player and, like, never have it. Like, Jason Tatum's not been an MVP. I mean, I don't know. He probably he may be. I don't know. But it seems like that's unlikely, right? At this point, you would probably bet against him coming off the Achilles.
Yeah, I don't think Jason Tatum's ever going to win MVP.
Right. Now,
but, I mean, for what he's done in his league, and he's still, I mean, he's just the gap between an MVP player and an all-star is bigger than people think.
Right.
I mean, you basically need to average 30 points a game, you know, maybe 5-6 assists, 6 rebounds or something like that. Like, that's pretty much what you have to do in this. And I don't know if Cooper Flagg's a 30-point player.
Right.
And, you know, Jason Tatum, he can give you 28 or so, but he's not that efficient like a Jokic or SGA, mm-hmm. which is what you need to be, or a Giannis or an Embiid. So it's tough. I do think Cooper Flagg will be an all-star, a perennial all-star.
Right.
A perennial all-NBA guy. But MVP, I need to see if he can get into that 30-point range as a scorer, and I'm not sure about that yet.
All right, over the weekend, you were continuing your campaign of hatred against small people, and that included Ja Morant. Ja Morant was included in that. So it doesn't sound like it doesn't sound like you're going to buy the Ja 3s, which just released yesterday, and it doesn't sound like you're a believer in the Grizzlies this year, Raheem.
Oh, I'm definitely buying the Ja 3s.
Oh, okay.
I'm definitely
All right,
buying.
My bad, bro.
Look, they canceled the Kyrie's, which I'm like still mad about because that was my favorite Nike sneaker. But I like the Ja's, so I keep a pair of Ja's with me.
Okay.
But as far as the Grizzlies this year, the West is tough. The West is I haven't decided what I'm gonna do with them yet. But I do believe if Ja can stay healthy, I think the Grizzlies can. I mean, they can make some noise. He's got to stay healthy, man. Like, did you see the video a couple weeks ago? I think it was a week.
Yeah, he was in China and he slipped. Yep.
Oh, like it was the scariest thing in the world.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it really. Anytime he goes up, it's like you're nervous for real. Like, it could be the end.
It could be the end, or it could be the greatest dunk you've ever seen in your life.
Well, he doesn't. That's the whole thing now. The whole thing is like he doesn't dunk. That was the whole camp. That like the whole Nike commercial was like, yo, everybody watches, and then he just lays it up. You know, that's the inside joke now is that he doesn't dunk anymore. But, I don't know, man. I do think it's been proven that when he's on the court, their ceiling is incredibly high. But
yeah,
that's been. I mean, and he's not the only player. You know. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to miss more games this year. That's the way it works, right? You win the title, you're going to miss more games. Like, it's just going to be the way it is. But I do think because of the moves that the Grizzlies have made, it's more important than ever. Like, they've handed him the keys. It's like, dude, now the responsibility is all on you. No more BS about this team is better without when you're – or as good when you're not on it. Like, it's all your responsibility now. And we'll see how he handles it.
Yeah, I mean – losing Bane is big because he was, you know, a secondary creator. He's a guy who can shoot the three. That's going to be a huge loss. So Ja's really going to have to step up. But they've downgraded the Grizzlies quite heavily in the market, and I think if Ja is healthy, I don't think that downgrade is that warranted.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, my guy. When I need some new colorways with the Ja 3, but I bought a lot of Ja 1s, skipped the Ja 2s. But I'm gonna be back, I think, with multiple pairs of the Ja 3. I think they cooked with these. So I just need some different colorways. The Dusty Cactus is not it for me.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I skipped the Ja 2s, too. I wanted a pair of Ja 2s, and I just never grabbed them.
But I'm definitely back on the bandwagon for the Ja threes.
Well, hopefully that's the rest of the NBA will follow suit and get back on the Ja bandwagon. Hey, Raheem, great to catch up, man. I'll see you next week, brother.
No doubt, man. Good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. He is Raheem Palmer from The Ringer. Nice enough to join us today here on the show. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people. I mean, they look great on feet, I got to say. I'm seeing people post them on Twitter. They look great on feet. The next colorway, I think, looks like the pink ones. Max volume, and they're very bright, but these are nice. I like the pink. I think I might get those. Pink, they're kind of pink and purplish. Yeah, so I think I might get those. I'll negotiate that in our call today at 2 o'clock. Thanks to Raheem Palmer for joining us on the show. We'll come back here on a Thursday, wrap it up. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Snack time. We love snack time. Well, Sonic just made it official with the Dollar Snacky Hour. Anybody that visits Sonic during Snacky Hour will get Dollar Corn Dogs, Dollar Mozzarella Sticks, and Dollar Soft Pretzel Twists. I mean, that's a meal right there. That's lunch. Snacky Hour can be lunch. Get drink awards in the Sonic app. The Sonic Snacky Hour is 2 to 5 p.m. every single day. Sonic. Live free. Eat Sonic. Exclusions apply. Limited time offer. Participating locations. All right, we're back. Jason and John on Turn FM ESP. And are you feeling Snacky Hour over there, Brad?
I am. It's usually about the end of your show because I actually bring snacks, as you know, to the radio station. Because I stay here all day.
That's right. That's smart.
I am here. I do the River Show. I do a couple of different markets. Yeah. Produce your show. The logs for the radio station.
That's right. Mop the floors.
Production.
That's right.
Mopping. And so, yeah, I usually need a snack. And snacky time is now. I notice you do
snacky hour.
It's snacky hour. You usually do the Sonic piece right here. And
that's
I
right.
always think, man, Winchester's calling. But
Sonic,
I got to wait till on my way home.
No, we love Sonic. You know, we used to have a lot more people that worked here. And,
as most businesses, mind you, have.
That's right. I don't know if that's exclusive to us or whatever.
No, it's not. Trust me. It's all industries.
But we used to have a lovely young woman who worked here named Brandy Davis. And she has now since moved back to her,
Itawana Community College.
Yeah, now. Her place of birth, which I believe is Tupelo, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. But the great thing about Brandy is that she was a bundle of joy. But she was also, I could send her on errands, I could send her to go, pick up tacos from the taco truck.
Yes.
And she would do it happily.
I loved that taco truck.
And it's still there, but we don't really have the manpower to go retrieve the tacos.
Well, now. I can do it anytime you need. This gas station here is where it used to be around the corner
of right.
Winchester, and
now
then they moved it down to
Park. That's right.
I will say, and they're not an advertiser, so I can give a review live on the radio of the taco truck.
Yeah.
It's Chili Verde.
Chili Verde.
Yeah. Not as good as it used to be.
Oh, really?
And it's the same guy. I don't know if he's taking a week off here and there or if he's not focused, but the tacos.
Maybe the tariffs have got him.
Maybe. The corn tacos are good. They used to be the best in town. They've taken a step back.
Okay.
Yeah, not what they used to be.
All right. Well, I haven't been there in a while, so I can't really. But they used to just be unbelievable. They were fire. Like, it was, so good.
Oh, they were. Yeah, right.
But at the end of the day, things do change inevitably, they always do. And, I try not to get too attached. But that was one of the great things about Brandy. And George, I feel like I can't quite use him in that same way. You know what I'm saying? I try.
He's awesome. He'll do anything you need.
He has done some things for me.
He'll do whatever you need.
But I am kind of high maintenance in that way. Like, I need some things, and I need some people around here to kind of help me out while I'm doing the show, And they do for the most part. But, nothing quite replaces Brandy. She was our social media girl.
She was a fine girl. She was great, and
she was
on the air all
the
time.
We had some dating shows. We put her on and put her through. She actually followed through with those. She went. She met a family, as a matter of fact, at Stony River.
Oh.
Yeah. And it turns out he was an NFL player at the time.
Ah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Big, small town here.
We were doing a dating, and what happened was we volunteered, and she was very nice to do it. Brandy agreed to, be a contestant on the subject of this game show that me and Jason did during the summer. And a dad called in.
Yeah.
And he says, I want to set you with my son. And we loved how he described the son and all that.
Yeah.
She goes to meet the guy.
I remember that.
She goes to meet, they had to screen it.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you go to meet my son, you come to meet me first.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of odd. So anyway, she goes to meet the dad who called in on the show,
and it's his son is an NFL player, and that's why she had to kind of go through the dad first. He was screening for her.
Screener.
I don't know.
A screening.
I'm not going to say the NFL player's name. I don't know if it went anywhere, but that was Brandy.
I think she met another fella. She actually went national for a time, was doing stuff with Fitz on the countryside as well. Yeah, was on a nationally syndicated show for a time.
Quite incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. She, you know, they don't make them like Brandy Davis, I'll tell you that right now.
We've had great teammates here over the years.
We have.
Tons of them.
But very,
very
few.
Very talented.
Brittany Memphis was willing to go on the dating thing. We did try that with Brittany. It did not go as well, no. I would say, with Brittany Memphis as it did with Brandy Davis. And you know, it could just be it's a small sample. It's one date. It doesn't, you know.
Well, I will say you've been here long enough now that we are now in an era where we no longer can kind of do those things
because of the safety.
I mean, the public safety outlook is
that's right. It's
a lot rougher.
Well, and that's true. And I wouldn't necessarily want to do that
in today's
day and age.
It's tougher.
8 years ago, I was
put them on air.
We were doing anything.
That was when Tinder was still in vogue.
28 years ago. Yeah. I mean, y'all was getting away with everything back in the day.
Oh, you know.
All right, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Raheem Palmer for joining us on the show. Thanks to Drew Hill as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.